Lord, have your way. Not my way, but have your way this morning. Speak into hearts like never before and change destinies. We need it. Change roads. We need it. Change lanes. We need it. Have your way. Touch again, Lord, the babies and each and every one of us today. We honor you and we thank you. May my words be acceptable to you. In fact, may my words be your words and nothing else. In Jesus' name, amen. From a deep, sweet moment like that, I want to tell a quick story. I'll tell you what the sermon is about just now if you haven't been on Facebook yet this weekend. But luckily enough, many of us have not been to war. Johan might say it's a pity that some of the young guys have not been to the army. But yes, most of the young guys around here have not been to the army. And we don't really know the drill. I know that Charles there at the back is a pilot, so he knows a bit about it. And Johan was ook in die lugmag, so he knows a fair bit about it. But just want to tell a quick story about this amazing aircraft carrier. It's American, massive American ship. I don't know if you guys can see it. Just a quick glimpse of it. It's a massive ship. And I think you most probably feel quite safe if you can park a couple of jets on that. But a true story, I did a bit of research and just came across this story as I was preparing. And it just bowled me over. I'm just going to read for you guys just a transcript of a radio conversation between two parties. It's very quick, but I believe it can be life-changing for some of us. This is a transcript of an actual radio conversation between a U.S. naval ship and the Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland in October 1995. Remember the Wereldbeker, 1995. The radio conversation was released by the Chief of Naval Operations on October 10th, 1995. And the transcript goes as follows. U.S. ship. Please divert your course 0.5 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. Imagine that ship saying that to you. The Canadian National Defense replies as follows. Recommend that you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. A massive U.S. ship replies back. This is the captain of the U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. The Canadian authority replies, no, I say again, you divert your course. The U.S. ship, now already but ticked off, replies as follows. This is the aircraft carrier, USS Coral Sea. We are a large warship of the U.S. Navy. Divert your course now. The Canadian authority replies, this is the lighthouse. It is your call. For those that didn't catch it, I'll explain it afterwards. But sometimes we might in life be a massive, and you see some of these war-carrying crafts at sea in life. And many a times those are the ones that will tell you, get out of the way, or move 15 degrees, or move 0.5 degrees to the left or right, or go south or go north, but just keep out of my way. And I believe there's a picture here, and you'll see how I unwrap it just now. A picture in here for all of us today, as Christians especially. And I'll refer back to this story. In the week I was just preparing, and well, at the beginning of the week I said, Lord, what is on your heart? What should I preach about? What do you want to share with the people? Immediately in my spirit I just saw a picture of a lighthouse. Hence the story of the lighthouse. You can go to the next slide, thanks. And so today's message is called Lighthouse, Arise, Shine. And it was so beautiful. God, I believe, touched on that in worship already, but we'll see it just now. Now, what is a lighthouse? Everybody has seen a lighthouse? This is something majestic, something amazing about a lighthouse in a wind pump. Who's seen a wind pump? But this is something with a wind pump that I really like. Somewhere where it's dry in the Karoo, but there's life and water close by. And likewise, with a lighthouse, when you see it, there's something amazing about it. A lighthouse, according to Wikipedia, is the following. It's a tower, a building, or other type of structure designed to emit light from a system of lamps and lenses, and used as a navigational aid for maritime pilots at sea or inland waterways. Lighthouses mark dangerous coastlines, remember that, hazardous shoals, reefs, safe entries to harbors, and can also assist aerial navigation for guys like Shaw. Now, the beauty of a lighthouse is just the following. It helps you to navigate, and it keeps you safe. And we just maybe agree on those two things. And just to step over to the emotional, spiritual, and the more human side of things, what is the two of the most basic needs of all of us that we face in life? We crave safety. And for safety, you know, we need to know how to navigate through life. Am I correct? All of us, the things that we do, many a times goes and are organized around these two things: how to navigate through life and how to get through it as safe as possible. Many a times. And I believe there's a picture, or there's in fact two things that God wants to tell us about this lighthouse. It's this simple vision that he gave me in this week. And we're going to see how we, as Christians or humans, need to know how to navigate through life, and we need to keep away from the rocks, the reefs, the sandbanks, and even the USS Coral Reef big ships in life. Now, who is the lighthouse of life? Any guesses? Who is the lighthouse of life? Remember, it's a bit of symbolic metaphor type language that we use, but who is the lighthouse of life? Jesus Christ. And we're going to go to Scripture, and we're just going to back that quickly. And that is the one leg on which I believe God just wants to have this message based this morning. The first is Jesus Christ. Let me backtrack 1 second. Have any of you guys been in the dark, been in rough waters, been in heavy seas, been close to the shorelines, or even on the rocks now and again? Have any of you? Okay, somebody's experienced that. I don't want to put Chris on the spot, but Chris had the privilege, or at the job, to take boats or yachts from down here in Cape Town all the way up to, what was the furthest point? Spain? A bit further north? North and south, both sides. And he told me once, can you just quickly explain how it is to navigate a boat when you on deck at night? Can you just, maybe in one paragraph, say what it feels like?
But just, what do you have to do? Is there any lights?
No, it's just dark. You have to rely on your navigation system. There's nothing. You cannot see a thing. Oh, that's scary.
Thank you, Chris. So just imagine that, taking a yacht, and a yacht might look big on a trailer behind a bucky, but it's not that big in the ocean. Just imagine taking a yacht. It's pitch dark. Seas are rough. The other skirva carols that is with you on the boat are all sleeping, and you need to navigate this thing. You don't have lights. There's no road signs. There's nothing. It's just, I can't say anything over this mic that comes to mind, but it would be quite tough for me. But some of us have found ourselves in that situation in life. Maybe there was a season, or maybe a moment, maybe a thing. Maybe finances might just feel like this boat out at sea at night, and you have no idea where to turn. Your health, Edna says. Maybe your health has felt like that. You feel like this ship in darkness. Let's go back to Scripture. Matthew 4, verse 16 to 17. Here just refers to a prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 9. It was so beautiful. It was a moment where Jesus moved out of Nazareth. He came out of the desert, was tempted. Then he moved from Nazareth to another place, which was actually then just a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. And this is what Matthew 4:16 says. The people who live in darkness have seen a great light. Remember, Isaiah said this years back, before Christ. And now it comes to fruition. The people who live in darkness have seen a great light. And for those living in the shadow land of death, imagine that, the shadow land of death, light as dawn. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. And he started off with his ministry. So a great light has come. Who's been in the shadow land of death in their lives? It's an area of your life that you just were so far from God. I've told you my studentadar stories, and I'm not going to bore you or freak you out with that anymore. But that was surely the shadow land of death. Last night, it seemed like you were quite alive, and this morning you wake up depressed, nowhere, and literally 90% dead, and far from God. Until a day when the great light of life had to creep into my heart. The scripture refers to the following. You can go to the next piece. Because who is this great light of life? Who is the light of the world? John 8, verse 12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So it's quite obvious that Jesus is the lighthouse of life. And now it can be this nice metaphor. It can be this nice, oh, look, a picture that we take at home or maybe momentarily feel a warmth in our heart about. That's about it. Unfortunately, many people come, maybe with an altar call, they come to the great light of life. And they say, yes, I see it. It's a lighthouse and it shines and it's awesome. But it's got no relevance for the rest of my life whatsoever. It's one thing to see and say, oh, well, it's a lighthouse. Yes, I do believe in it. And yes, it's a bright light. And then they just turn from it and never look to it again for help. In this scripture, there's two things that's important. Firstly, the lighthouse of the world is what there's one, and it's Jesus Christ. The second thing, that there's in the latter part of that verse, there's a beautiful promise hidden for us. Anyone who follows me, the lighthouse is talking to us, anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life. Chris referred to the promises of God, and I believe this is a very important one. Anyone who follows me. Imagine the lighthouse saying to you, the lighthouse commander saying, he's speaking over his radio, and he says, anyone that listens to my call, I know these reefs, I know these barriers, I know the Kenny Sandbank, I know where the fishing trawlers are heading, I know this neck of the woods. Anyone who follows my command, anyone who follows my command will never walk in darkness. Are you experiencing any darkness in any area of your life? Maybe finance, health, emotional stuff, work-wise, children, whatever the case may be, is there any part in your life where you are experiencing darkness? Thanks for that one. Well, truth be told, then you're not seeing the lighthouse in that thing. Whatever place, whatever sea of darkness you're currently facing, an area of your life, wherever you are just meandering and floating, and you're not knowing where to go, and you don't know a way out, you're just commonly not seeing what the lighthouse is showing you, the light that Christ is showing into that area. And this is not condemning, it's just a mere fact out of Scripture. Now sometimes, there's a case where God stretches us and where he tests us and where you're just saying, Lord, where's the light? Where should I go? Where should I go? And it's in moments like that you just need to stop and just reverse. When last did the light I speak to you and what did he tell you to do? And just keep on that course. I'm unfortunately like that. I love the prophetic. I love God to speak through visions and word and his word and other people speaking to my life. I really love it. And I see the awesomeness of that supernatural lifestyle. But sometimes I want to know too much. He might say to me, yes, move 15 degrees to the south, you will be safe. And then a year later I want to know, Lord, where should I go? And he's like, well, I've spoken to you, just keep on heading. So we need to be careful of this, but let's grab hold of this promise. Anyone who follows me, and it's not just believe in me once, say yes, say a sinner's prayer, get baptized and go on with life. No. He says, anyone who follows me, anyone who constantly listens to the voice over the radio of the lighthouse of life, will never walk in darkness. Let's go on. Just to prove that, The lighthouse of life is there to what? Give direction. We said to each other at the beginning, there's two things that's important. We want to navigate through life because firstly, I want to understand who am I, who is God. I want to navigate myself through life, and then I hope to take like my children. And then as a pastor, hopefully all of you guys, that's part of this congregation, I take with me on this journey. So it's quite important to navigate myself. And the second thing is, we want to be safe. Not safe in the flesh as such, but we want to be safe in Christ, safe in God's will. Those are the two things. What is it and who is it that gives direction? Let's go to the next scriptures. Thanks. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our life is based upon millions and millions of decisions. But Jesus comes to life and says, hey guys, guess what? Relax. Relax. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not just not just the one of the Kinder Bible, the guy that wants you new. No, in every part of life, in every single thing of life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Where's my Bible? Is there my... But just somebody lift up their Bible. Jesus, just lift up your Bible. There's a couple of Bibles just floating around and a couple of smartphones. But how do we find the light of life? How do we find the directions of the lighthouse of life? Yes, through the Holy Spirit. Yes, through Rhema, words into our heart, Ephesians, other believers, but also the Word of God. You all know John 1, and I love the word here, and we're just going to break it open quickly. In the beginning was the Word, with a capital letter. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, first time I read that, I was lost in verse 1. But hold fast to your seats, don't worry. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him. And apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him. So it went from the Word, now speaking about Him. You know who this Him is, and we'll get to that now. Life was in Him, and that life was light of men. So in the beginning was the Word. This Word was with God. This Word was God. And within Him, this Word was the light of men. Hey guys, you can kind of look more excited about that news. It is good news. It might be old news, but I think we need to remind ourselves of it. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. All men are on a journey. All men and women, obviously included, need to navigate themselves through this thing called life. They want to navigate. We all start off in darkness. And without guys, there's a lot of darkness. But the light of men is found with Him. And Him in this case is also obviously the Logos Word, Christ Himself, the Word of God. That light shines in darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. Hey, there's another problem. Just hear that. The light is in Him. The darkness did not overcome it. Where there's light, there can be Nala, no, Bogorol, Max. Now, no darkness. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light. Good correction there, John. But he came to testify about the light. And then verse 9, the true light who gives light to everyone was coming into the world. True light. Every single boat on the ocean of life can see this one. Need to see this one. There's one lighthouse for life. There's one lighthouse in the ocean called the world. And it's for every yacht, ship, and U.S. Navy ship to decide, am I going to look to this one lighthouse? Am I going to listen when he phones in, when he rings the dial, when he calls me on the radio, am I going to listen? Am I going to follow the light of life? Now, we said and we refer to the Word as you refer to your Bibles. In John 1:14, it's not on here. John 1:14, it just quickly sums it up so that we're not unsure of who we're talking about here. 1 John 14 says, and the Word, capital letter, became flesh. Imagine that book becoming flesh. No, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, cool. And we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son of the Father. Who is the only Son of the Father? Jesus. Full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. You want to look at the lighthouse? Yes, you pray. Yes, you're accountable. You chat to each other. Yes, you move in the Spirit. You pray in tongues. You say, Lord, show me a vision. But above all, you want to say above all, but especially maybe. Not above all, but especially. You go to the Word of God. You go to the Word of God and say, Lord, here's this darkness, here's this ocean. I don't want to run this thing around. God, where's the light? Where's the light? And who's the guy that asked the same question and got the answer? A very passionate guy. Who's the guy that killed Goliath? David. What did he say in Psalm 119 about the Word of God? What did he say? Exactly this. Just a confirmation prior to that in the Word of God. Your Word is a lamp to my feet. And the light to my heart. Something is iets wat hy gesnap het. It's something that he got. Psalm 119, verse 105. For your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Wherever you catch them caught in darkness, God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light unto your path. Now just a quick testimony. I usually do this prayerfully. When it comes to cars and big things, or sometimes even I tell the testimony, we didn't have money. I'll ask the Lord, Lord, can I buy this Gehenna? So yes or no. And so he trained me in that because we were in a tough state. But now the testimony is just in a time where we had one car that was really very old, and it was getting to a place where we needed to get a new car, and we had a better car that we could just trade in. So we downgraded on the one and upgraded on the other. God said, yes, go for the deal. Long story short, started to negotiate with car salesmen. Any car salesmen in the house? Great stuff. I'm a lawyer as well, so the judgment seat is taken out of my heart. I can't judge any guy like a second-hand car salesman because I've gotten the rap for my profession as well. So bless all car salesmen. Let me just put it out there. Long story short, got to start to, not haggle, but negotiate with this one gentleman. And he had two second-hand cars, but it was in better shape than the ones that we had. And he gave us good prices. And I said no, made a counter-offer, and he said yes. But he even bettered the counter-offer. And I'm like, okay, well, that's awesome. And then he put it out all in an email, long email, and explained why this particular vehicle, the one I was sure of, but the other one was a bit older, nice car, very nice car, better than the ones we've got now. In my own opinion. And he explained why it's a brilliant buy. And he explained what exactly will happen once I want to resell it. And he puts it all, he puts the figures together, and it's as if Chris could have done it on an Excel spreadsheet. It was done brilliantly. And I was sold, and I knew this was good. And I started to write an email of acceptance saying, yes, we're going to take that part. But remember, I started this off in prayer, and I just prayed again, and I just said, Lord, if there's anything that you know of, anything that you don't like about this, just come in, because I wasn't 100%. My head said yes, but I wasn't 100%. I wasn't in 100% peace. I said, Lord, please speak to me through your word. Christ, lighthouse word, speak to me, please. Immediately as I started praying, Proverbs 23 dropped in my heart. I went and I read Proverbs 23. And nothing made sense. And then, poof, verse 7, just rhema. Rhema is when it lights up in your heart. It's as if the words of the page just jumps into your face, just jumps in your heart. This is from God. You understand? Rhema word. It came to me. And Proverbs 23:7 said the following. For it is like someone calculating inwardly. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. And I knew immediately, even though this mail was brilliantly written and he had a great argument for buying this vehicle, price was good, and I know a good argument. You can ask my wife, I know a good argument when I see one. In spite of his good argument, God said to me, be careful, he is still calculating inwardly and his heart is not good. Immediately I knew, God said no. And in that moment, the word of God could be a lighthouse for me. Very simple part of life. You need a vehicle, you need to trade in. You need to do a deal. You need wisdom. And I say, Lord, I'm a bit in the dark here. I don't know everything about this vehicle, this guy, or the price. But you know everything. light of life, word of God, come, speak to me. And if I said, and yes, it was a nice car. But yes, God didn't ask me. Wanted us to have the nice car. He wanted us to have the safe bed and look after what we have. And He clearly spoke to me there. His light showed me the way. So Jesus is the lighthouse, but we have to follow the lighthouse. We cannot be like that ship heading for the shore, heading for the rocks of life, and not listen to what He says. Now quickly, what else is the lighthouse? What else is this light? You can go to the next slide, please. This lighthouse light. We said it's Jesus. Pretty obvious. What else can it be? What else can be this lighthouse? Before I say that, and here's the thing about God. As I said this morning in worship, I was just so blessed. I was so blessed by you guys just getting Sam together and just that part of worship, that sweet part of worship, along with just the wording and the heart of all of the songs that was just so ministering to me. And you have the sweet moment, and you can't plan it. I don't believe you can really plan it. You can plan it, but you'll taste that it's been planned. Or it can be fresh. It can be fresh manna. And you know it's fresh manna. Now you have moments like this, and I believe our God is, He's got a sense of humor, but He's also a bit strange. Have you ever seen God taking a selfie? Hey guys, hey crowd, all smile. God taking a selfie. Just out here with Shofar Table View, having an awesome time, best church ever. Having a selfie, putting it on Facebook and Instagram. Have you ever seen that? Have you seen God, the real God, not fake, other weird Facebook pages, but have you ever seen God do that? Hey, with Edna, he's okay, but yet on, cappuccino with the blarky, cappuccino with the harky, cappuccino with the palky. You don't see God doing that. Have you seen dictators in Africa? They've got billboards with their face just blown into it. They're just on cover of magazines, and the government-run newspapers. They're just all over the set. They market themselves. They put themselves out there. They just want to show people who they are. But funny enough, you don't get that with God. God is hidden. And it's in the secret places. It's in the sweet places here in front. We can't, if you're camping this weekend, awesome, enjoy your camping. There's nothing wrong with camping. But if you went camping this weekend, you would have missed this moment, and I cannot explain it to you. I can't take a selfie of this moment in worship and say, hey, awesome day, full it. No, you can't. You just, the glory of God cannot be caught with social media and transcended onto another. It can't. It's a secret. God brings His light. God brings His glory, not only through Jesus, but very often through you. That's so awesome. He doesn't take selfies. He doesn't promote Himself. He doesn't go on an American campaign to become the president of the country and God bless America. But God doesn't do that. It's not His style. He uses us in little moments to shine His glory. Takes a worship band. Somebody at the back of the violin, the right heart is contained, emptied of self. He says, yes, here, I want to lead myself. Here, I want to lead my Lord. And in the moment, comes and uses us for His glory. Edna said last week, what is glory? It's an external manifestation of His being. It's an external manifestation of God's being. That's His glory. God's glory is something that appears, you can see it in Scripture, is revealed, not flaunt, not marketed, but it's revealed, it appears, and it can be seen. I said here, it is, you can notice that God is. You can walk out this door and can't wait for it, no uncertainty that it was God. It is when God reveals to us who He is in a way that we can process it with our spirit, soul, and body. And lastly, she said, now there's three amazing Greek, or two Greek definitions, both Kabot and Shekinah for glory, but then there's the Doxa in the New Testament. That just sums it up. This is the promise for us in the new dispensation of grace, as temples of the Holy Spirit. We all are temples of the Holy Spirit. To become hosts and vessels for God's glory in the earth. So each and every one of us can become hosts of God's glory in the earth. Who would like to be a host of God's glory in the earth? Three of you guys. Great. Great. I'll see you next Sunday. Okay, awesome. Let's leave this one then. No, I'm just joking. All of us. We can see. We can, as we heard in worship, we have the right perspective. We can see God for who He really is. If we can see that truth, we would so want to be instruments of His glory daily. Now, who else than Jesus Christ is a lighthouse for God in this earth? You, me. There's the last one. It is us. The church. Shofar Tableview. And then obviously the church of God. All of our churches. We're just a very minute dot of the bigger church of God. But we should be the lighthouse of God unto the nations. Why do I say that? Let's look at scripture. Isaiah 60. And I believe this is a prophetic word for this, for the season. I said, I just bounced with Edna, and she said maybe, and I agree with that, for the bigger church of God. But especially for our church, we receive this as a word in season, because I believe that is what God has been speaking to us about. And it's Isaiah 60. Now, Isaiah 60 speaks about Zion. Zion was a place in Jerusalem. It was a real place, but obviously through Scripture you can see it's a physical place, but there's also a heavenly Zion, God's city. It's the end time church. It's what God is heading, where we are heading, what God is heading for. It is where His people all come together. And where His glory can be seen and shine. Scripture goes as follows. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord shines over you. Don't just hear the words, guys. Make up your minds and your hearts. And decide to eat it. And say, Lord, yes, I believe that I am a lighthouse called for you. And I decide, Lord, to take it for myself. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For look, darkness covers the earth, and total darkness the people. But the Lord will shine over you, and His glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light. It's amazing here. God started with His light. It's His glory. He shines His light and glory over us. And then, all of a sudden, in verse 3, it comes. Our light. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your radiance. What should draw people to church? What should draw people to you? What should draw people to your house? What happened to Moses? He was in God's presence for moments and he came out and he shone with glory. You know, within a lighthouse, there's a couple of bulbs. These technical guys don't listen to what I'm saying now. But for the rest of us, there's a couple of bulbs and mirrors. Clean mirrors. We as clean mirrors of God can be part of the lighthouse of God. To shine the glory. To shine the light that He shines in us. But if I don't get anything, if I don't go into, and you'll notice that, but if I haven't been in His glory, if I haven't been in His presence, if that light has not shone on me, I don't have much to give. And I believe we've got Christians, the generation, not full of, but there's a lot of Christians that they don't get it, they can't give. Well, they try to give, but they can't give because they haven't gotten it in the first place. We need to get that glory. We need to be empty containers, clean empty containers. Say, Lord, fill me up with your glory. So what? So I can have a good time? Don't see Monique now. She's probably a kid's just, but she asked at cell group, at small group, on Wednesday, but why glory? Edna said glory last week. It was awesome. But why glory? Is it all about a good feeling? Is it all about a good manifestation of God and His presence to go and put it on Facebook? No. So that the nations can come to us. So that the nations can come to God. So that the nations can come to the lighthouse of God. We're partnering with them. But without light, without His glory, taking that out to the world view. We're not giving much. Our light comes from God's glory. Our light that we can go shine out there comes from His glory on us. Just to confirm that lastly, Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. And I want to speak this to you. Hey guys, do you remember? You are the light of the world. Just think of your job, of your workplace. Just think of wherever you socialize, your vriendekring, where your pals and you meet. Just think, is there utter darkness? Is darkness covering the earth? Are those people in darkness? Some of them might be. If it's all of them and it's your friends, we need to chat. Either they need to change or we need to change friends. But it's for them to change. But you are the light. You are the light of that lighthouse in that place. It's a bit of a stupid question, but do you believe it? Because now I say, yeah, awesome, great. But to go out there and believe actually that the light of life is with you. And in moments of glory like this, wherever we meet, wherever you have an awesome quiet time in your inner room with the Lord, and He just whacks you, He just touches you through His Word and Spirit, and you radiate with His light as you go out, believe that His light shines through you. The Word speaks somewhere in the New Testament, I almost dare to say why. It speaks of the fragrance, it's in Corinthians, it speaks of the fragrance of Christ, carrying the fragrance of Christ. The lighthouse has shone on you, you're going to carry the fragrance, you're going to carry that light out there, and people are going to notice. Lastly, in Acts, for so the Lord in Acts 13:47, we're just looking at a lot of scripture just to see how God uses His light and His glory in our lives. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. What's our mandate? Is our mandate to just have awesome times in God's presence and enjoy His manifest presence alone? No, not that. Not that alone. As children, we definitely need to. Religion will tell you, you don't have glory moments. Religion will tell you, no. Don't worry too much about the presence, it's the nations. But I can tell you this, don't go to the nations if you've not been in the presence. Don't go trying selling fake light if you've not had the glory shine on you. You're just going to hurt that people. They're just going to eventually think we're hypocrites and we don't know what we're talking about. I'm not going to try to sell you a Toyota if I drive an Opel for the men. Does that make sense? Taste and know that the Lord is good. Taste and know. Taste and know that the Lord is good. And this I loved about John and Peter. It's not on there, but Acts 4:13. Don't have the scripture yet, but the people around them were surprised. These were unlearned men. Plebs. Normal guys. Unlearned men. Yet one distinction was very clear. They have been with Christ. They have been with Christ. So I don't care what job you do, what title you have, what qualifications you've got. Even theology, which is not a bad thing. You can always do with more godly theology. But at the end of the day, all of that does not mean anything if you haven't been touched and followed the light yourself. Sounds a bit spooky, but you know what I'm saying. Within context, the lighthouse of life. If you've not been with Christ, it's easy to pick up. You guys mind standing with me? There's three important things I believe we can pray about this morning. Just close our eyes. Father God, we just thank You that You've given us Your Son as a lighthouse of life. Thank You, Father God, that We all have been in rough seas and darkness, like Chris explained to us. Places where you have no idea where to go, what to do. And we thank you, Father God, that for each and every one of us, I believe there's been at least that first moment where we saw the lighthouse of life saying, yeah, here's my message. Here's the safe way to navigate through this storm. The first thing in preparation I felt that we should ask God for is, just with all eyes closed, is there a place in your life where you feel in utter darkness and you don't see what the lighthouse is saying? You don't know what Christ is saying at the moment. And you really need Him to speak, and speak very clearly. Because you're like that U.S. ship heading straight for shore, which is not a good thing. Is there anybody else? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just with all eyes closed, thank you for the hands. Thank you, Lord, that you see them. Now we're simply going to pray this. We're going to pray, Jesus, that you come speak Rhema words into our hearts today or in this season. Jesus, I pray that they will see you. I pray that they will see you, the lighthouse of life. I pray that they will see your light shining in this specific area that they've lifted up now. I pray that they will see the way, the truth, and the life in this area of their life, in Jesus' name. I believe there's things that are in me that the devil used to blind us, and I pray, just pray that you'll just break the blindfold. Break any blindfold. Break any blindfolds, Lord. Break any pride, any spirit of pride. We just rebuke you in Jesus' name. You go under the feet of Christ. Any pride, we just break you so that we can see the lighthouse of life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I hear humiliation. Lord, if there's any humiliation that's keeping the lighthouse, that's keeping Christ out of something, an area of life, Lord, any humiliation, we just come and break that hold over anybody's life that's lifted up their hand. Humiliation, you're broken now in Jesus' name. God's perfection and God's acceptance alone in these lives. And lastly, I just pray for these brothers and sisters, Lord. Thank you that sometimes we ask, but we do not listen after that. I pray that we will ask again, and Jesus, that we will then quiet ourselves to listen what you say. That we will hear the voice saying, to the south, 15 degrees to the south, this is the way, walk in it. Thank you for revelation for each and every person that put up their hands. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way in these areas. Thank you, Father. I just want to encourage you, be accountable with somebody if you feel like it afterwards. Just chat to somebody about that so that we can trust God for breakthrough. And then for us as a church, I want to pray, Lord, make us a lighthouse, Lord. Make us a lighthouse, Lord. For we cannot have a lighthouse if there's no light. And we can't have any light if your glory is not ever present here. So we ask for more of your glory, Lord. And that comes in humble hearts. That comes at a place of pure hearts. Even a place of brokenness, Lord. You bring your glory. So Lord, we just ask for our whole church, Lord, every single person that's formed part of this church that you divinely planted here, Lord, that you will come and stir hearts, empty us as containers to fill us with your glory. Come and take that hidden selfies with us, Lord. That hidden selfies of the heart, come and take them with us so that you can shine through us in a broken world. And then if you, lastly, want to be one of those containers of God, that if you want to experience, and there's nothing wrong with experiencing God, let me make this very clear. As much as there's nothing wrong with Frida and Sophia wanting to experience me as their father, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, there's nothing ever wrong with wanting to experience our God. He wouldn't have given us these examples if this wasn't his heart. It's gibberish, in other words. So thank you, God, that we can come boldly and say we want to be carriers of your glory. but not selfishly alone, also for the nations. If you want me to pray over you individually, Isaiah 60, just raise your hand. If you want God's light to rise up above you and over your life, if you want to just be touched again freshly, let's put our faith together. And Lord, we just lift up this church as well. And we just say, Lord, may this be prophetically true in the season to come. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For look, darkness covers the earth, and total darkness the people. But the Lord will shine over you, and His glory will appear over you. His glory will appear over you. His glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your radiance. Thank you, God, that you will fill us with your glory and your light, and that people will be drawn, not to us, not to a denomination, firstly and foremostly, but to God and to Christ, firstly and foremostly, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I just have my heart, if anybody is struggling to see the light, if anybody is struggling to see Jesus, in this time or in an area, you're more than welcome to come afterwards. There'll be a couple of us to pray with you, to partner with you. So don't leave here without receiving some prayer. If not needed, there's coffee and cake. I'm sure more than enough cake today. So enjoy it. If you've got off this week, enjoy that as well. And hopefully see you next week. Otherwise, as soon as all these holidays are over and done with. But anyway, enjoy your week, and it's been a blessed morning. And God bless you. Thank you for coming.